Thanks for tuning in to another evening gospel program from Martyrs Memorial Free Presbyterian Church. Once again, the wonderful message of the gospel of God's grace will be brought to you along a variety of avenues. The children's story, tonight that'll be by Stephen Kyle, and the children's question will come from his story. A word of personal testimony, this time featuring the organiser of our senior citizens meeting at Martyrs, that's Mr. Eric Stitt. The preaching of the word, and of course the singing of gospel hymns. And two of the singers tonight are a couple of mainstays in our mission meetings over this entire lockdown period, Victoria Salt and Sophie Shields. Plus a verse from Michael Eldridge, a brother from the United States of America who has kindly given us permission to use his rather unique classic a cappella hymns for our mission meetings. Please enjoy this presentation, be challenged by it, and through Christ Jesus, enter into the possession of God's so great salvation.
As the deer panteth for the water, my soul longeth after thee. And I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You're my friend and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver, you're the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. And I long to worship thee.
Today I'm going to be doing a short object lesson on some sweets, which I'm sure you all love. A long time ago, there's a man called Mr. Bassett who started this company to make jelly babies. And the idea of jelly babies wasn't just to make delicious sweets, but also to spread the message of the gospel. And if you look very closely at jelly babies, which we're going to do now, they tell the story of Jesus. First we have the black jelly baby who has a heart on him. And this reminds us all of our black hearts. For we all have hearts which are full of sin. and which have disappointed and disobeyed God. Next we have the green jelly baby, which is of a man crying. And this reminds us of the misery of sin, and also that we should be sorry for our sins and how we have rebelled against God. Next is the red jelly baby, which brings the good message that Jesus died for our sins, for there is a bee on it, to remind us of the blood of Jesus Christ that can wash away all our sins. Fourthly, we have a pink jelly baby, which is of a little baby. And this reminds us that the gospel is for everyone, even little children, and that we have to come humbly as little children and put our faith and ask him into our hearts. Next, we have the yellow jelly baby, who is wearing a lovely necklace, which reminds us of the gold and the riches in heaven that the Lord Jesus Christ has promised all those who will worship and will come to him. And finally, we have the orange jelly baby, and he's wearing a little bag to remind us that we should prepare for the day that is coming, for the judgment day that is coming, and that we should ask the Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts. And that is the message of the jelly babies, the message of the gospel, that we should prepare our hearts and come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him in to take away the blackness of sin so that we can trust and we can go to glory someday with Christ.
Turning to God's word, in John 14 and the verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as this world giveth, give I unto thee. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen. I was brought up in a family of five brothers and two sisters. There was no church influence whatsoever in my home. And as a child, I went to the Church of Ireland for a couple of years. I heard nothing about the soul salvation whatsoever. I lived in the Craigie estate and attended children's meetings for a while. And as I grew up and to be a teenager, at the age of 14 or 15, I started work. Again, I started also drinking and smoking. At the age of 20, I joined the British Army. My first posting was Berlin, and I'm sure you've heard of the Berlin Wall. I was there when it was being erected. There were terrible tragedies I saw and witnessed at that wall. And I was greatly affected by them at the time when I came home. After Berlin, I was posted to the island of Hong Kong, the southern tip of China. In Hong Kong, troubles erupted too, and I really was in active service. This time I promoted to a lance corporal. Again, I saw many tragedies that I witnessed with my own eyes in the field of duty. They did affect me too. While in Hong Kong, I was writing to Marjorie, my wife-to-be, and we had letters written to each other. My demob date was in June 1968. I married Marjorie the following year in 1969. Our firstborn child was Eric. He was born in December 73. Still loved the pleasures of the world. No thought of God whatsoever. In 1976, I had an accident. Coming home from work on my bicycle, I was hit by a car. In normal circumstances, death would have occurred, but I had very, very much bruising and sore Fortunately, I had no bones broken, but I was badly injured. My mom died in February 1977. This affected me greatly because mom and I were very close together and hugged each other all the time, you know, mother and son. In the same year, 1977, in August time, my youngest son, Raymond, was born. So we can see what was occurring. The death of my mother, sadness and sorrow. And then my son, Raymond, been born. The joy of that. My mind, I was absolutely troubled. I had no peace in my mind whatsoever. Could not settle down. Coming towards the Christmas time of 1977, drinking a little bit and trying to ease things through the drink. But the Lord was speaking to me, even through that accident. But I didn't know it, didn't really. Marjorie advised me. She says, "Eric, go and have a talk with that minister." We were attending that church in Beaver Park, Presbyterian Church, and I spoke with the minister with the things that were bothering me. And on that particular day, 1978, the 7th of January, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart and life. I was invited to attend Martyrs Church by Marjorie's sister. And I did go, and I heard a few preachers. First preacher was Reverend David Crane. The next preacher I went the following Lord's Day was Reverend Ken Elliott. And the following Lord's Day, none other than Dr. Paisley himself. I was absolutely enthralled by this preaching. I had heard here in this church the preaching first time of salvation, and it really, really, really helped me indeed. I found this peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. That wee verse that I first quoted with, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as this world giveth, give I unto thee. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I found that peace. And what a joy it was. And in that church, in the years to follow, I became a Sunday school teacher and also an outreach worker, and presently I'm looking after the senior citizens in Martyrs Church. My prayer is to those that are listening, come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will obtain this peace that he offers. Amen.
What love could remember, nor wrongs we have done, omniscient, all knowing, he counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore, our sins they are many, his mercy is more. Father so tender is calling us home. He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more.
Splendor and magnificence, nothing in our modern world can match the ancient city of Corinth. Standing on a narrow piece of land washed by seas on either side, the one sea bringing in the commerce of Europe, the other the commerce of Asia, with a magnificent burden of columns and statues and towers and temples, showcasing the beauties of classic sculpture and architecture, Corinth took the breath from all visitors. So when Paul wrote the words of this text, he wasn't addressing a squad of rough, common rustics, men and women who had never seen anything grand. These men and women had spent their whole lives surrounded by the sounds of the best music, by the most beautiful pictures and sculpture and architecture and Corinthian brass that had been moulded and shaped into their chariot wheels and towers and gateways. And yet Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, "But as it is written, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." In effect, he was saying, you Corinthians think that this is a splendid city, and in many ways you're right. But you think you've heard all the sweet sounds and seen all the beautiful sights, but I tell you, all of this is nothing. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Heaven far surpasses anything we have ever seen or heard or known on earth. My first main comment is that while we live in this world, we can get no true idea of the splendors of heaven, the splendors of heaven. John tries to describe them. He says, the 12 gates are 12 pearls. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. And that the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And we read of that in Revelation 21 and verse 21. As we stand looking through this telescope of John's, we see a blaze of amethyst, pearl and emerald and sardonyx and sapphire, a mountain of light, a cataract of colour, a sea of glass, and a city like the sun. John tells us to look again. And we see thrones, thrones of the prophets, thrones of the patriarchs, thrones of the angels, thrones of the apostles, thrones of the martyrs, the throne of Jesus, the throne of God. John commands us to look again, and we see the great procession of the redeemed passing by. Christ Jesus on a white horse leads the march, and all the armies of salvation follow on white horses. Cavalcade passing, ages following ages, Europe, Asia, Africa, Australia, and North and South America pressing into line, generations before the flood following generations after the flood, and as Jesus rises at the head of that great host and waves his sword to signal final victory, all crowns are lifted and all flags unfurled and all chimes rung and all hallelujahs chanted, and everybody cries, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Every house there is a palace, every step a triumph, every meal is a banquet, every stroke from the tower is a wedding bell, every day is a jubilee and every moment an ecstasy. I tell you, eye hath not seen nor ear heard. Again, we can get no idea while we're here on earth of the society of heaven. The society of heaven. The Daily Mail related the story of two pairs of childhood sweethearts who were brought together for a meal and to reminisce over past events after having lived separate and different lives for 20 and 26 years respectively. While none of the four persons regretted the lives they had lived or the partners they had eventually married, but since they had affectionate encounters with each other in their teens, they were delighted to meet up with one another again and muse over times gone by. What will our joy be like after we have passed the seas of death to meet in the bright city of heaven those from whom we have been long parted? Oh, what a meeting there in the skies. No tears nor crying shall dim our eyes. Loved ones united eternally. Oh, what a daybreak that morn shall be. After we have been separated from our friends for 10 or 15 years, and then we come upon them, we notice the changes. The hair has changed and the wrinkles have invaded their faces, and we say, ah, you've changed. But when we stand before the throne, all anxieties wiped from the face, all marks of sorrow erased, all lost teeth and hair replaced, and feeling the joy of that blessed land, I say we shall speak to each other with an exultation we can't even now imagine. How you've changed. In this world, we only meet to part. It's goodbye. Goodbye. We hear it at the harbour and at the airport. Goodbye. Sometimes we say it in a light way, goodbye, and sometimes with heavy anguish as the soul breaks down under the weight of a particularly painful goodbye. But not so in heaven. Welcomes in the air, welcomes at the gates, welcomes at the house of many mansions, but no goodbyes. One by one our seats were emptied. One by one we go away. Soon, all of us who were saved by Christ, we will all be over. How many of our loved ones have already entered that blessed place? It's graves here, and coffins here, and hearses here. A little child's mother died, and they comforted her. They told that little child, your mother has gone to heaven, don't cry. And the next day they went to the graveyard, and they laid the body of the mother down into the ground. And the little girl came up to the edge of the grave, and looking down at the casket of her mother in that hole in the ground, she asked, is this heaven? I imagine when a soul arrives in heaven, some angel takes it around to show it the wonders of that blessed place. The usher angel says to the newly arrived, these are the martyrs who perished at the stake in England and Scotland and Asia and all over Europe as well. These were the ones who were torn to pieces at the Inquisition. This is the throne of the great Jehovah. This is Jesus. To stand in his presence, that will be heaven. To put our hand in that hand which was wounded for us on the cross, to mingle with all the groups of the redeemed and shake hands with the prophets and apostles and martyrs and with our own dear loved ones. This will be a great reunion. We can't imagine it now. Our loved ones seem so far away. When we're in trouble and lonely, they don't come to us. Unbelief whispers, they're dead and they'll never live again. But we have a Bible that tells us so differently. We open it and we find they are certainly not annihilated, that they never were so much alive as now, that they are only waiting for our coming and that we shall join them on the other side of the river. Fabulous reunion. We can't grasp it now. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I say again, in this world, we can get no idea of the splendours, the society, or the song of heaven. In the Battle of Waterloo, the Scots Highlanders were giving way, and Wellington discovered that the bands of music had stopped playing. He sent a quick dispatch telling them to play with utmost fervour a battle march. The music started again. The Highlanders rallied. Boldly they charged on until they secured the victory. We appreciate the power of martial music, and there's nothing more inspiring to me than a whole congregation lifted on the wave of some sacred song. When we sing some of those dear old tunes, they stir up all the memories of the past, because they were sung by our mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, grandfathers and grandmothers who were gone now. When I hear these old songs sung, Amazing grace, blessed assurance, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. It seems as if all the old country meeting houses joined in the chorus until the whole continent lifts the doxology. When generals come back from victorious wars, we cheer them enthusiastically. And when Jesus passes along in the conquest of the earth, shall we not have for him one loud ringing cheer? All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. But if music on earth is so sweet, what will it be in heaven? David on his harp will be there. Gabriel on his trumpet will be there. Germany redeemed will pour its deep guttural bass voice in the song. And Africa will add to the music her inimitable voices. I wish we could anticipate that song. I wish in our hymns we could catch an echo that slips from the gates of glory. Who knows but when the heavenly door opens today, to let another soul through, there may come forth the strain of the jubilant voices until we catch it. Oh, as that song drops down from heaven, may it meet halfway a song coming up from earth. God grant that through the rich mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, all of us may get there. There's only one way, not your way, not my way, nothing to do with our own efforts or our supposed goodness, for we are full of sin and can do nothing to earn the favour of God, but by the way that's pointed out in this book. Jesus said, John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the only Saviour, now and forever. Through him alone, God is revealed and heaven is reached. Someday my earthly house will fall. I cannot tell how soon it will be. But this I know, my all in all has now a place in heaven for me. Someday when fades the golden sun, beneath the rosy tinted west, my blessed Lord shall say, well done, and I shall enter into rest. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. And I trust you'll be travelling with me. Meet me there.
We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's word he has given. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be, sweet home of the happy and free, fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. In heaven no drooping nor pining, no wishing for elsewhere to be. God's light is forever there shining. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. The angels so sweetly are singing up there by the beautiful sea. The song of redemption is ringing. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be.
Let's pray. Gracious and loving Saviour, we thank thee for saving souls, developing saints, and speaking to so many others. We praise thee for forgiveness of sins, for help for living, and comfort for dying, and the provision of that majestic home in heaven beyond the grave. May souls start for heaven tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks again for being with us, and special thanks to the many people who have contributed to these mission meetings from the very first day until now. We're not sure what the future holds, whoever it is. This may be our final Sunday night gospel meeting in the current format. Unless I'm bombarded by requests to keep something of this nature going. The children's question is, on what colour of jelly baby would you find the letter B? And don't hesitate to contact me for spiritual counsel. Our reason for living is to see souls trust Christ and really begin to live themselves.